Christine shared with me the testimony and read to me the prayer that Tanya is going to get up here and give some background on, and then read it for all of you to hear. It's very encouraging. It's very faith-building. It's causing your eyes to be shifted where they need to be shifted on the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to have our precious sister Tanya Curtin come up here and share what the Lord has shared with her out of seeking God.
Hallelujah. So yesterday morning, I had gotten up early to take my sister to work, and I came back, and usually I go right into my devotionalism where I have my Bible here and my devotion here, and I have this person's reading here, and it's very, not stringent, but it's pretty strategic, and I think God wanted me to come out of that bubble a little bit. So when I got home, I said, Lord, I'm a little bit tired. I said, okay, if I just lay down a minute. And I laid back down a little bit and just started musing. I think they use that word in the Bible, musing. And I just started thinking about the things that had happened throughout the week. I have a 40-hour work week, and I work with different entities. And so I was hearing, not just from my bosses and so forth, but I was hearing from the other entities and their uncertainties and even fears. And I was just laying in bed, and I was thinking about, all the things that had come about just in 1 week. Just in 1 week, we went from knuckle bump to elbow bump. I even heard about an ankle bump. And, that's kind of different for me. I don't know about you. And so as I was laying there, musing and thinking about these things, God started instilling in me or infusing into my spirit just some thoughts, and they kind of turned into a prayer, and it kind of turned into my devotional, and I just thought it was so beautiful. I shared it with some people and would like to share it with you. I just believe that, there's a lot of scriptures going on out there. First we're in Psalm 91, and then we're in Joel, and it just seems like this just kind of wrapped it all together and summarized it. So I'm going to read kind of what the Lord gave to me. He started out with the naysayers and panic peddlers who are only looking at what man can do. As you embrace my word, my promises, you will see not only what I can do, but what I am doing to effect change. And then I was, just kind of in and out of sleep, and I heard from my Heavenly Father, you are not in trouble, you are in transition. And, I've heard from my earthly dad, you're not in trouble, just do it this way, or you're not in trouble, we need to look at it this way. And so when I heard those words, my spirit just leapt, because I'm like, oh, okay, this isn't judgment time on just me or others or whatever. And he said that things are good and getting better. And what else could possibly go right in your inheritance and your portion? Anything opposite or contrary to the faith index, which our word of God is the faith index, take authority over it, stand boldly upon my word that what the enemy steals, he has to pay back 100-fold. And in Joel, where it talks about the palmer worm and the canker worm and the caterpillar of Joel's prophecy may be in the land, that virus may be in the land, but he has an army that's at work on our behalf, bringing angelic protection and provision into our lives. And it said, I'll send ravens to feed you and give you water from the brook to sustain you. For I've set the eye of my favor upon you for good and not for evil all the days of your life. That last portion of the eye of my favor upon you is for good and not for evil. That was ministered to me way back a couple of years back when I was walking through a life or death situation. And praise God, he just reminded that to me as a father would a child. I'm here with you. We're going to go through this together. So be encouraged. And the other thing he gave me was Psalm 4:4, where it says, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your heart upon your bed. Selah. And Selah is a peace. And it's a peace that passes all understanding. It's when you walk into a room and there's a whole room of people that may or may not have their job left. It's when, you know, a peace can rise up in you when you see the shelves at the grocery store empty and people are panicking. And it's a peace that only Jesus can give if you're a child of the living God. And so I just praise God that I got to share this today, because it wasn't just in and out sleep, and it wasn't just me just thinking about things. It was the Spirit of God just kind of instilled and infused that in me. Because change is coming in effect, but I believe it's good change. It's the change that God our Father needs to wake us up, to lift us up, to exhort him, and be the example that Jesus was when he was here on earth. We're his example. We're his holy people here on earth. And so I just praise God for this, and thank you for this time. And God, I just want to praise you and thank you right now, and just ask that all of these words just go forth in power and in might, and that all fear subside in the name of Jesus. All strongholds come down in the name of Jesus, but that we will walk as your army, only looking to the one true God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Tanya. What really encouraged me about what Tanya was sharing is that she said it was different from her normal devotionalism, I think is the word that she used. It was different from how she normally got up and sought the Lord. It was different from her everyday routine. And I believe that what she received, God has for all of you. I believe that God is doing something different. He is doing something new. And if we will listen, if we will get out of our old patterns and our old habits and look for something new, look for something fresh, look for a present revelation of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit to our lives, that he will minister to you like he ministered to our sister Tanya. And I'm sure some of you have been experiencing things like this already. And you should be able to hear that quiet stillness, whether you're in your bed, musing, as she says, just going in and out of sleep, awake, kind of just dropping in and out, and the Lord's ministering, the Lord is speaking. Be listening. My sheep know my voice. They hear me and they follow me. He has specific words of truth. He has specific words of life. He has specific words of hope. He has specific words of his dearest and most intimate love for you that he wants to speak. And that's why I wanted her to get up and share this, for you to realize that God is speaking. God is in control. Jesus is Lord. And this is a time for you to grow deeper and to go deeper in your walk with Jesus and to begin hearing him more clearly. So I was just so blessed to hear that. Also, I believe that this Wednesday evening, for those of you that will be tuning in, I'm not saying this is a thus saith the Lord, but 2 Chronicles chapter 20. There is something there about King Jehoshaphat being surrounded, walled in. And there's something that we need to hear, as in part of his prayer, when he was talking to God, he makes this statement, "Our eyes are on you, Lord." And I believe that would be just a very encouraging word for us to hear this Wednesday evening. I'm not saying that is the direction I'll go, but as of right now, I was so encouraged by that passage of Scripture, that almost the entire 2 Chronicles 20, just so powerful. So continue to pray and believe God with us during these times. Now, as most of you know, that even before all this began, and we even heard of anything of a COVID-10 or a coronavirus, that the Lord had already prompted me to begin a teaching, a series of teachings concerning God's fire logs, concerning the fire of the Holy Spirit. And the passage of Scripture that we began with is in 2 Timothy chapter 1. So let's just go ahead and dedicate the rest of this time here this morning to the Lord. Father God, I thank you that nothing catches you by surprise. You knew all these things way ahead of time and have already made ample supply for all of your people. And so we thank you, Lord, for your supply. We thank you, Father, for already having prepared even so many of us ahead of time. Getting people that are especially in a mature Christian position, a leadership position, those that have walked with you for a period of time, already preparing them for this moment, Lord, because it's important for all of us as leaders or spiritually mature in the Lord to be those examples for our brothers and sisters who may be teetering, Lord. And so we thank you, Father, that people are able to see our trust, our confidence, and our dependence is upon you. And may we be used as your vessels to minister your life, your hope, and your love to those that are teetering right now. So we thank you and we just welcome your presence here. And I'm just asking for your wisdom and your direction as I share these things that you've laid upon my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1, the verses that the Lord gave me months ago, beginning with verse 6. Therefore, I remind you, 2 Timothy 1:6, to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, as the result of these truths of stirring up the gift of God within us, grabbing hold of the Lord, grabbing hold of the presence and abiding power and love and influence of the Holy Spirit that's able to bring all things to our remembrance, that the Lord wants to be brought to our remembrance, coming to a place of complete stillness on the inside while people are in an upheaval on the outside. He goes on here to say in verse 8, therefore, do not be ashamed, do not draw back of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Sometimes, you know, in times like this, when we're confined to our home or we're limiting ourselves from going out, that sometimes we do feel like a prisoner. But the word of God says right here, nor of me his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. I want you to be aware. I want you to be available. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit wants to minister through you in love and in power to those in need. So God needs you stable. God needs you in a place of looking to him. As that one scripture, that one of the other passages that keep coming to me that I've been focusing people to, is that Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And there is a looking to Jesus. As Christine said, Jesus is Lord. And that's the realization every one of us need to have, is in the reality of who Jesus Christ is in a personal way. This is such a powerful last letter that Paul wrote to his son in the faith before he went home to be with the Lord. But he does make a statement here in chapter 3, verse 1. And it does go along with what we're facing today, because he makes this statement here in 2 Timothy 3:1. But know this, that in the last times or the latter days or when things are wrapping up, perilous times will come. Perilous times will come. And when it talks about days of uncertainty, it talks about days of stress. It talks about that which may be hard to endure. It speaks about people are going to be troubled in mind and troubled in thought. And there are a lot of people that are troubled in mind and troubled in thought. And that's why the Church of Jesus Christ, you need to be that stabilizing force within the world right now, with an understanding and a relationship of who Jesus is in your life. And we're going to look at some of these passages here that we are supposed to be operating in and living from. And if you're not doing it, you can. As you heard earlier, don't condemn yourself. Don't be in a place of condemnation. Deal with that. Get in a place of faith. Walk on with the Lord. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We are told in Mark 11:22, it says, have faith where? have faith in God. And it says that there's the faith that every one of us are supposed to possess, because that word have is also possess. And it speaks to all of us as believers that there's a possession that we should all have in our walk with God. There should be a possession of faith, a possessing, you possessing God in a manner that relates to how you live. Have faith in God, possess faith in God, or possess the God kind of faith. Possessing, owning, walking in a trust, a reliance, a confidence that nobody can take away from you. Because in the next verse, Jesus is speaking here about a mountain, something that is huge, something that is insurmountable by human means, that mankind in his own ability can't do it. And this is what he says here. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt, does not move off of his position in God, does not move off of his trust and reliance in God, does not move off on who God is and what his word says, does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says, those things that God's word says, those things that the promises of God say, those things that the character and nature of God of who he is, that does not move off of what you know to be the truth of who God is, who Jesus is, and your place in him. Believes those things that he says will come to pass. He will have whatever he says. I believe that during this time we're going to have powerful prayers and powerful proclamations. And you should be having prayers that are filled with God's power, with God's anointing, and statements of proclamation. I believe that Jesus is. I thank you, Lord God, that this virus will progress no further. It shall not come to me in my house. Lord God, I thank you that upon the doorposts of my house, or we could say the doorposts upon my life, and over my mind, over the lintel, over my mind, that helmet of salvation, that there's your blood, what you have done and what you have secured for us. And this thing that is trying to bring death and fear upon so many people, it shall not come near me. That when this thing comes and it sees the blood, it must pass. There's a faith, a triumphant faith, that God wants you to develop within your life. And you have to know that this is all possible. You have to know that this is a place and position that you can live in, that you can live from. Is this pie-in-the-sky Christianity? No, this is down-to-the-earth Christianity. This is where we're supposed to be living, trusting and believing God and believing his word. Because in verse 24 it says, therefore, as the result of possessing faith in God, therefore being able to look to a mountain and say, you know, God's bigger than that mountain. Matter of fact, God created that mountain. God knows everything, that every mountain that I'm going to face in life, God knows every mountain. God knows every situation and has already made a provision for me in Jesus Christ. And therefore, I can say to that mountain, you're not bigger than God, because I know how big my God is. I know what Jesus Christ has done on my behalf. See, there's things that you're saying, that you're declaring to something that would otherwise try to defeat you. Then as the result of that, therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, you have to know who God is. You got to know his promises. You got to know his teachings. You got to know that you're walking right with him. And to know that when you pray, you're praying according to the will of God or according to the word of God, that whatever things you ask when you pray, there's a faith already residing on the inside of you. When you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. This is something that we all have known. We have read this time and time again. But after knowing this and have read this before, are there declarations of faith coming out of your mouth? Are there faith-filled prayers of God's promises that you know to be the truth or real to you? Do you have a present revelation of Jesus Christ within your life? And if not, he wants to bring it to you. He wants to establish you right now. We are told by Jesus also in Matthew chapter 6. It's one of the verses that I have on that kiss fit at the bottom there. There's two passages of scripture that I have from Matthew chapter 6. And this is one of them. In verse 25, it says, therefore I say to you, do not worry. Do not be anxious. Do not be troubled with cares. Do not allow yourself to be wavered like other people are wavering. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look what Jesus says in the next verse. He wants us to look around at his creation and observe his creation, and then take that observation and allow it to build faith in our life in him, faith in God. And look what he uses here. He uses birds. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? You need to realize the great esteem, the great price, how God sees you, how you are precious in his sight. And if God takes care of those little winged creatures that we see out there, of all different makes and colors and sizes, and he has provided for them, then you have to have an understanding that you can look at creation and look at the birds and realize, I'm better. God sees me as so much more precious than they are. And my Father, who is God, will take care of me. And that's why Jesus tells us what our focus is to be on in verse 33. He says you are to seek first, your first priority before anything and everything else. Your first priority is to know about his kingdom, the kingdom of God, the resources of that kingdom, the king of that kingdom, the authority of that kingdom, the love of that kingdom, the peace of that kingdom. Everything that there is in heaven, we can experience a taste of it here on earth. On earth as it is in heaven, as Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. On earth as it is, the same, equal to. And so you can be tasting what Jesus Christ has secured, what the Father God has for your life now on earth, while everybody's in a place of worry, stress, anxiousness, troubled with cares, troubled in mind. It says that there's a place. There's a position, there's a stand, there's an abiding, there's a resource. Wow, how about even this? I really believe that Jesus is the very personification of the kingdom of God. And those of us that are saved and filled with God's Spirit, having the residing presence of the Holy Spirit within us, we actually have the kingdom of God within. Because the Spirit of God is within. And therefore, everything that the kingdom of God is and possesses and represents already dwells within us. We just need to learn to access what is already ours or what has already been given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on here to say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There's always that place that this world is trying to get us off our righteous stand. We have been made righteous. We have been justified by the blood of Jesus. We've been given the gift of righteousness. But through thinking in our mind and maybe some unrenewed areas of our life, we may get off of being right with God. We may make some wrong choices that aren't right with God. And it says that we're to seek first the kingdom of God, all who he is, the king of that kingdom, and always maintaining a right stand before him. Keep short accounts. If you find yourself afraid, you go into the grocery store and you see the shelves barren. Oh my gosh, what's going to happen? Whoa, wait a second. I'm worth a whole lot more than birds are. And God takes care of the birds. He's going to take care of me. You know, Lord, these shelves are barren. So you must have another provision for me. You can immediately change from a place of doubt, from a place of coming short of the kingdom of God, to a place of righteousness with God. Righteousness with God is acknowledging who God is and staying in that right relationship with God when your mind or the present circumstances are trying to dictate something else to you. That is a place and position that Jesus says that we can occupy till he comes. We can live in till he comes. And so we are now afforded the opportunity to do this. When was the last time you thought of something like this as being afforded an opportunity to glorify God? The book of James, James chapter 1, it tells us a condition that we are supposed to have or be in when we find ourselves in a time of trial or time of test or in a place that we're not familiar with. And it says in James chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith..." So when you find yourself in a trial, when you find your faith going through the fire, as it says in Peter, it says your faith is going to go through the fire because the genuineness of it, or the realness of it, you need to know if your faith is real or not. So this, what this United States or what this world is facing right now, is showing a lot of believers in Jesus Christ where they are at in their faith. And you don't, if your faith is lacking, if you aren't where you're supposed to be, it can be shored up. You can get to the place where God wants you to be. And so he says right here, "Let patience have its perfect work," or its mature work, or its maturing work within you, "that you may be perfect and mature, complete, lacking nothing." And so what I want to just like to say here is, it says you're to count it joy. The first response that we are to make a declaration by faith is, you know what, I am not going to lose my joy in this. I am not going to lose my place and my position because of what's taking place. I am not going to allow timidity. I'm not going to allow fear. I am not going to allow it to so possess me that I lose my joy, that I lose my position or my relationship with God. And you will find out what Scripture has to say concerning joy. And if you look at all the different things that the Word of God says about joy, or the gladness that comes from God, the cheerfulness that comes from God, independent of natural surroundings or natural circumstance, it's heavenly. It's of the kingdom of God origin. It's something that has been deposited in you. Matter of fact, according to Galatians chapter 5, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive the love of God that was spread throughout your entire being, throughout your heart, and impacts all of your life. And the second thing is joy. And you have God's joy within you by the Holy Spirit. And after joy comes peace. And it says we are to count all these things that we are going through, and we're to count it. What does it say here? Count it all joy. Start drinking from the well of salvation. Start drinking from the well of the Holy Spirit. Start drinking from that place of your inner relationship and fellowship that you have with God. Instead of drinking in what the news is saying, instead of drinking in what fearful people are saying, drink in what God says he's already placed within you. And it says that you can make choices, you can be prepared. You can do a lot of the same things that the people of the world are doing, but with a different character, with a different outlook, with a different view. And that's why it tells us in Peter that people are going to ask for a reason of the hope that you have. And you're good. You're supposed to have a ready defense or a ready proclamation of the hope that you have within you. And these have been providing many opportunities to share their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are to count it joy. The Word of God tells us in Romans 14, verse 17, the last part of that verse, it talks about the kingdom of God. In the first part of the verse, it says the kingdom of God isn't natural. It isn't food and drink. That's not the basis of our life that we live for. We don't live for food and drink. As Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, we live from his resource. We live from the kingdom of God and walking in a place that is right with God through Jesus Christ. And so our focus isn't on the natural of this world. It says in Romans, I think it here, it's Romans 14, 17. Let me make sure that it's either Romans 14, 17 or 15. I want to read it to you exactly what it says out of here. Romans 14, 17. "For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." See, this is our focus. This is our walk. This is our lifestyle. And so many people are scrambling for food and drink that we have to have an understanding that God knows the food and drink that we need, and he will make provision. He could just, I mean, there have been some people that I've heard that they get woken up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and they're getting ready before the stores were closing early, and like, "I need to go to the store right now." And boom, everything was there that they needed. So God can even show us, because we're in a place of righteousness, we're in a place of peace with God, and we have the joy of God within our lives, that he can even speak to us at the right time to do something. where people are in panic mode, fearful mode, stressed out mode, we are in an abiding peace, faith mode. And the Lord just simply speaks, go now. And you follow that leading, guiding of the Holy Spirit, and you do what he wants you to do, and you'll see the provision of God when you follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus also tells us in John 15, Jesus makes it very clear, beginning at, we'll start up here at verse 5. Jesus is saying that he's the vine, he is the life source. The very life of Jesus, the very life that flows from the root through that vine to the branches, that Jesus is our very life source. And he says, you are the branches, I'm the life source, you are an extension of who I am, you're the branches. He who abides in me continues to take their life from me, continues to take their sustenance from me, continues to hear what I'm speaking, to take my words and take them as applicable to their life. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, if anyone does not continue with me, if anyone does not remain or walk with me, he will be cast out as a branch and is withered, and they shall gather them and throw them into the fire, and they shall be burned. This is a very tough passage here. If you find yourself a vine or a branch that's withering, or you're feeling strangled right now, you don't have to be. Jesus is just letting us know, if we haven't been walking with him as we should be walking with him, talking with him as we should be talking with him, getting a greater revelation, a present greater revelation of who he is, then you can. It's just letting us know there are people who won't. And the people who won't, this is going to be their condition. So he goes on in the next verse after this, and he tells us what we can do if the choice is ours. If you abide in me, if you continue with me, if you remain with me, and my words, my teachings, that which we have heard from Jesus, that which we have been taught from the Apostle Paul, Peter, James, Jude, John, the other New Testament epistles, Luke, Matthew. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, allow them to have a place of residence within you. Allow them to speak to you. Allow them to minister to you. Allow them to be a guiding light in a time of darkness to you. It says, you will ask what you desire. Why? Why will you ask? Why is it going on here talking about having a fellowship with God and allowing those words of his words become a fellowship within you, a place that speaks to you? Because you will know the will of God and you will know the word of God and you will ask accordingly. You will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. See, this is the place that true prayer should have in every one of our lives. That we know who our Lord is, we know what his word says, and therefore what comes out of our mouth, what we pray out of our mouth, is in complete agreement with a complete assurance God hears, and if we know that it's in accordance to his will, God responds. Period. That's it. And you will have that which you have been praying for. And it says, to live like this, Father is glorified in verse 8, because it causes the fruit of his word to be manifested in and through our lives. And it says, so you will be my disciples. As the same love, right, it says here in verse 9, as the Father loved me, I also loved you, abide in my love. Just know today that the same love that the Father has for Jesus is the same love that he has for you. And when we follow what Jesus says, and we do what Jesus tells us to do, we will experience, you will actually tangibly experience, as I have and as I do, the very love that God has for you. It's not elusive. I know it so deep with inside of me. Nobody can take it away from me. Because there's something with inside of us, as true believers in Jesus, we don't seek what we can get away from or get away with. As Jesus said in John 8, I always do those things which are pleasing in my Father's sight. See, that's the nature of God. That's the nature of God within us. That's part of that gift of eternal life that we have received, that we have the very nature and character of God. So we look to do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So when I read something like this, it is my life. I say, yes, Lord, this is how I live. If you keep my commandments, the teachings that I have given to you, and if you abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things I have spoken to you. Why? That my joy may remain or abide in you. And what's the result of that? That your joy may come to a place of complete, manifest fullness. You can't manufacture joy. You can't fake joy. It's a disposition of your life that people are able to see the joyful, cheerful countenance of a believer in Jesus Christ that is walking one with their Father God. Can't be fabricated. You can't put on a fake smile about it. It's just who you are when these truths become your reality. And this is what the Lord wants every one of us to experience. And Jesus went on here to say in chapter 16, and I'm going to pick it up here in verse 22, therefore, he's talking to his disciples, and this is before his priestly prayer in John 17, right before he's arrested and gets ready to pay the price for all of us to become children of God. And so he's speaking to his disciples, and he's saying this in verse 22, therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again. Jesus is letting them know he's going to go away, and he's been telling them this throughout his entire ministry. And he says, you have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy, no one, nothing. This joy that God has placed within us as part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit within our life, it says no one or nothing can take it from you. And this is what you have to realize. The joy that you have from God is independent of the circumstances of what's going on in this present world right now. Nothing or no one, no report on TV, no one can take it from you. And in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Until now, he's speaking to his disciples prior to the cross. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. If I could just let you know today, if you are not experiencing the joy of God that resides within you, there needs to be made a shift inside of you. There is something probably going on in your thinking or your feeling, or your thoughts might be overwhelming you because of all the media coverage that is going on. You need to make a spiritual shift and begin to acknowledge what the Lord has placed in you by the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit dwells within you, his love is there, his joy is there, his peace is there, his goodness is there, his gentleness is there, his kindness is there, his faith is there, his long-suffering is there. Everything that we need to endure, everything that we need to go through this period of time has already been placed within you because the person of the Holy Spirit dwells within you. You are fully equipped right now to walk in the love, to walk in the joy, in the peace, or in the peace of the Prince of Peace right now. Just go ahead and acknowledge your fears. Go ahead and acknowledge some of these things. God is not afraid of that. He doesn't want you to lie about it. If you are fearful, then acknowledge it. Timothy was fearful. Paul knew that he had a spirit of fear on him. Timothy, that's not what God has deposited on the inside of you. You need to shift from this outward force of Satan, of this world, these spiritual oppressions that are trying to hit your life right now to cause you to back off. You need to be able to see where they're coming from. We don't fight with flesh and blood. This is all spiritual. And you need to make a shift right now. Because what you received from God, that Holy Spirit you received from God, is God's ability, God's power. It is God's love, you knowing you're accepted and welcomed in the very presence of God, to create an internal environment that affects your soul, that affects your thinking, so that it is sound and proper, healed and whole thinking. And God knows how to do that. Acknowledge what you need to acknowledge, confess what you need to confess, but continue to acknowledge what God says of your place and position that you occupy in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that your joy can be full. Promises. God doesn't give us promises to tease us. God doesn't tell us things in His Word that we cannot experience. It would be wrong of God to say something that we could enjoy or experience on this side of eternity if it wasn't so. And that's why we have a promise through the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. And it speaks of God's promises. It says that all the promises of God in Him or in Jesus are yes. And in Him, amen. To the glory of God through us. See, God wants your life to be a signpost. God wants your life to be a display of people that are knowing God's promises, taking God's promises, experiencing God's promises, and people see the promises of God activated within your life, and it brings Him glory. It brings Him honor because He wants to do it through us. God wants you to be His calling card. God wants you to be a manifestation of the reality of who He is, and He's given us these great and precious promises, as it says, and I believe it's in 2 Peter, that He's given us all these great and precious promises so that we can be partakers, or because we are partakers of the divine nature, God wants to display the reality of Himself through your life to others, and thus He will be glorified. It's just so powerful. And the reason why I'm going to end this, our time together here, we looked at 2 Timothy chapter 1, and it spoke of that we're not to neglect the gift of God that's within us, that we are to stir up the gift of God. We are to keep our spiritual life and relationship fired up in Him, that we are to reject any timidity, any fear that's trying to be imposed upon us, any oppressiveness of this world, and to realize what we have been given by God through Jesus Christ in the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, to continually have an unashamed testimony of Jesus Christ. And then we looked at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, about these perilous times, these days in which we live that are perilous. But see, Paul didn't leave Timothy hopeless. Paul didn't leave Timothy with just an understanding of perilous times. He used himself as an example, and we're going to look quickly at that example as we close here. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul uses himself as an example, and you can use your life as an example also. You have faced things. You have gone through things. Maybe not something like this, but your life has faced something similar where the odds were against you and God came through. And so what Paul says here, beginning at verse 10 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, but you have, Timothy, speaking, writing to Timothy, but you have carefully followed my doctrine. You know what I teach. You know my manner of life. You know how I live and conduct my life. You know what I stand for. You know my purpose. You know what I believe, or you know my faith. You know the long suffering that I have, the ability to endure that God has placed within me. You know the love of God that dwells within me, the very nature and character of God that lives within me. You know my perseverance, the ability to stay consistent, the ability to be level-headed, the ability to walk on in the same way every day, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. You know the persecutions and afflictions that happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. Man, that could be pretty negative. But he doesn't stop there. He takes a portion from Psalm 34, verse 19. He takes an Old Testament promise. and brings it as a New Testament reality, because in the New Covenant or the New Testament that we have in Jesus, all these wonderful promises of the Old Testament are magnified. They're amplified. They are so much more wonderful and so much more powerful. And this is what he says. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Paul had this testimony that no matter what he was going to face, no matter what he was going to go through in this life, Psalm 34:19 was going to be his promise. No, it was his promise. No, he experienced it, and he's letting Timothy know, you know what kind of life I've lived. You see what has happened to me, and you see what God has done. So he's speaking it from a place of experience. You all have experience. Somehow, some way, you've overcome something in life, and the Lord delivered you out of it. He wants to make sure that you have an understanding of this verse. He wants to deliver you out of them all. We live in a place of God's hand and God's protection in and over our lives until we go home. You have to realize God already knew that this was going to happen. God already knew what was going to happen on this world. God already knew that it was going to be a pandemic. God already knew what was going to take place in all these nations. But God has already made a provision in his son Jesus Christ. God has already made a provision for you. And if Paul was able to be delivered out of them all, so can you be delivered out of them all. And if it's fear, you can be delivered out of it right now. If it's uncertainty, God can take that uncertainty and cause it to be faith with inside your life. He's trying to get every one of us to a place and position that we look to him and not to the circumstances. Because God is over the circumstances, or like I said earlier, no matter how big that mountain may be that you're facing, God has a truth, a simple truth that Paul grabbed from Psalm 34, verse 19, and the Lord delivers me out of them all. See, he was able to take that scripture because God gave that word in Psalm 34. God gave that word. God gave the reality of that truth. He took it for himself, so no matter what the circumstance was, no matter how big it was, God was bigger, God was greater. And that's what you have to go away with here today. God is big. God is greater. God is for you. God loves you. God has already made a provision for everything that no matter, we don't know how far this is going to go, but God does. And is this too big for God? And the answer is no. What shall we say to these things? What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? The question is, do you know that God is for you? Do you know that God is for you? Do you know that Jesus ever lives to make intercession for you right now? Do you believe the love that God has for you? See, if you're able to say yes to these last three questions, God is for you, Jesus is interceding for you, there's such an immense love that he has for you, you're never to let it go. It says, because of these things and the things that we may face, you will be able to exceed as an overcomer in this life, here, right now. Have this understanding, my brothers and sisters here, as you're listening to me right now. Because if you'll take some of these truths and the truths that God is speaking to you, as we heard earlier from our sister Tanya, that God is speaking truth to us inside of our hearts because he knows exactly what's going, what you need to stabilize you. He knows exactly from who he is and he knows how you are made up. He knows how you function. He knows how you think and view things. And he has truths for you that will cause your soul to be anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you need to find that quiet time. You need to have that alone time. You need to have that Psalm 46, verse 10 time where you're going to be still. Shut the news off for a while. Get alone with God. And to realize coronavirus is not God. Know that these fearful things that are happening, they are not God. Be still and know that I am God. And when we have these type of truths on the inside of us, there's nothing that can overtake us. There's nothing that can bring us down, that we walk by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says here in Isaiah 26, verse 3, you will keep him in perfect shalom, perfect peace, whose mind, whose thoughts, whose inward self-talk, inward thinking, processing of information. It says, whose mind is stayed, whose mind is fixed, whose mind is connected. It says right here, who's connected to God. And it says if you keep that thought, you got to find a connection. You got to find a truth that can take that thought and anchor it in the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to find out what God's word says and say, whatever that thought is, look at it. Whatever that fear is, whatever that concern is, look at it and find God's promise. Find what God's word has to say and say, you know what? You got to submit to this truth. You've got to submit to this promise. You want to take that thought and have it actually, I believe the word of God tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, come under the obedience of Jesus Christ. That it has to bow the knee to Jesus. In other words, it's got to bow the knee to the word of God, to the promise of God. It's got to take its conquered place, which is defeated in Jesus Christ. And you have to realize that's how a place that we can come into a place of peace, a place of serenity, a place of knowing that I am still one with God and He's still one with me. And He is going to cause even my life at this present time to continue to advance forward spiritually, mentally, physically, financially. God's in complete charge of all things and in charge of my life and of my family. And so we just know that it says right here at the last part here, verse 3. Why? Because He trusts in you. This is how perfect peace happens. Remember Mark 11:22, have faith in God. This right here is a comparable word in the Old Testament, this word trust, this word reliance, this word that shows a dependence upon God. Because we have a dependence upon God, a faith in God, an assurance within inside of ourselves that grabs hold of our lives and keeps it stabilized there. We are a person living in God's perfect peace. And if I'm not mistaken, when you look this up in the Hebrew, it's actually shalom, shalom. He will keep him in shalom, shalom. God is saying this word shalom twice because He's emphasizing it that He has peace, peace. He has provision, provision. He is making sure that you know that there's a double emphasis on who He is for your life. It's almost like God is giving us the law of witness here. I'm just not saying it once. I'm saying it twice. And you need to grab hold of who I am, that I can do this. No, I am this. I don't just do this. That is who I am. And it will cause your mind to stay focused and grounded. Trust in the Lord forever. For Yah, this is a poetic expression for Jehovah. For Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength. And this is what I want to leave you with today. That God is your everlasting strength. That God is your very present help in time of need. That God is a place that you can go, as it says in Hebrews chapter 4, that you can come before the throne of grace and obtain the help that you need, and God will give it to you. He has everything that your life needs. And I just wanted to speak these words of encouragement to you today, because when you see the different people and the way that people are reacting and people are displaying their emotions and how they're displaying their fears, the Church of Jesus Christ needs to come to a place of rising up and being that church, being that display of Jesus, being a display of peace, being a display of joy, being a display of a people that have a faith, trust, and reliance upon God when others don't. Showing this world and everyone that you know where your life is anchored, where your hope is. That you have an anchor of the soul, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it shows. And allow your light to show. Allow this place that you occupy in Jesus to show. As David said, I will say of the Lord, He is my rock. He is my defense. He is my fortress. He is my strength. Do you have that confession today? Can you say, I will say of the Lord, He is my. And then you put in there, what is He to you right now? What is that you need Him to be right now? Do you need Him to display some of His salvation? Do you need to be in a place of feeling protected? God wants you to find the truth that you need for your life, meditate on it, have it become a personal reality on the inside, and begin to allow it to flow upon your lips. And that, once again, will cause that mind that's wavering because of outward circumstances to come to a place of inward stability in who Jesus Christ is. as it says in Acts chapter 10, verse 36, that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And as it says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, the very last part of that verse, you have to come to a place that Jesus is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. And because he knows everything, he knows the end from the beginning, you have to come to a place that Jesus Christ is Almighty God. Or come to the place that Thomas had to come to. That disciple that wasn't there when Jesus showed up one of the times. But when Jesus did show up a second time when he was there, you know what his confession was? My Lord and my God. And that needs to be your confession. Jesus is your Lord and he's your God and he's almighty. And you need to trust in his covering over your life. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus, so that we can live and experience, verse 13, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Those last two verses were from Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 and verse 13. It's important that we have passages like this in these times and to reassure ourselves of these truths and live their realities. So, Father God, I want to thank you right now for words of encouragement, Lord, that you are speaking to hearts and lives of all your children. And I even pray right now, Lord, that in the midst of all these things, as we heard one of the praise and worship songs today, that there is a song of hallelujah, Lord God, we can sing. There is a chorus that rises from the inside of us, Lord God, from that place that is connected with you, that we can sing a hallelujah. We can lift up our voice. No, we do. Not we can, we do, Lord. And you see, Lord God, our lives, and you see what everyone is facing, and you see where they're at and the place that you want to bring them. So I thank you, Lord, this day, that we know that, yes, these are perilous times, but we can have a faith in these perilous times, that we can have a lifestyle that experiences what the Apostle Paul experienced, that no matter what he faced, he knew that there would always be a provision, that there would always be a salvation, that there would always be a deliverance. And the Lord delivered me out of them all. And I pray, Father, that if anybody listening right now needs any type of deliverance, that they would just simply call out. They would invoke your name right now. They would call out, Jesus! If that's only the name we can get out, that's more than enough. Because in Jesus is everything. So I just pray, Father, for that person right now that needs to invoke your name. Call on his name right now. Call on his name right now. Know that he is there. Know that he is present. He has not forsaken you. He is with you. Acknowledge what the Word of God has to say and then receive what the Word of God has to say. So we thank you, Father, from the bottom of our hearts. This may have caught us by surprise, but it didn't catch you by surprise. And you've already made ample provision, Lord God, for all of us. And so we just thank you. And we are looking, Lord God, we are looking to you, the author and finisher of our faith. You're giving us guidance day by day, moment by moment at times. You're speaking something fresh and something new to us, Lord God. You're breaking routines. You're breaking, Lord God, things that we may have allowed to come in and cause conformity, Lord God, or cause us to become religious. And we're having a certain way of doing things. And it's just like that's not working anymore. Because you're bringing us to a place of closer fellowship and closer intimacy with yourself. And so we thank you so much, Lord, that even though this thing is, it's not good, but you work all things together for the good, because we are people who love you and we're your called ones. We're your children. And so we thank you, Father, that even in times of uncertainty, there is a certainty that we have with you. You are the Lord and you change not. You are completely dependable. You are completely faithful. And we put our trust, our reliance upon you. So we bless you, we thank you, we glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for listening. Take some time and get alone with the Lord.